Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Just over 100 years ago, actually probably closer now to 125. There was a circuit riding preacher who went from church to church holding services for those folks that didn't have a full-time pastor. On one trip, his young son accompanied his father because he liked to ride horses. They arrived at this one particular church on a Sunday morning, well before the service time. As they walked in the back of the church, the young boy noticed a rather large, beautifully carved box that had a hole in the top center. Carved on the ornate front of the box were the words, "Alms for the Poor." The little boy asked his father if he was going to donate. The dad didn't want his son to know the only money he had was a 50-cent piece, which he had somewhat hesitant to drop in the box. Circuit riding preacher preached a powerful message with a lot of amens. After the service, the deacons gathered around, and the chairman of the deacon board announced that they had an offering for the circuit rider. He was puzzled because they didn't receive an offering during the service. At that moment, another deacon walked up carrying that beautifully carved Alms for the Poor box from the back of the church. The chairman of the deacon said that all the congregation put their offerings into the box for visiting circuit riders. When they opened the box for all to see how much had been donated, they discovered one 50-cent piece. The circuit rider's son looked in the box and then his dad and said, "Well, Daddy, if you'd have put more in, you would have gotten more out." Great story, but such as it is for each of us, the more we get out of life is determined by what we put in. Here are some ways to get the most out of yourself. Number one, have confidence in who you are. Have confidence in who you are. Unfortunately, many people base their confidence on how attractive, intelligent, successful, or witty they are. And sadly, we then base our confidence on how we compare with other people around us, attractive, intelligent, successful, or witty. That's the wrong approach, the wrong approach. Let me ask you a question. What are you worth? I'm not talking about your net worth in terms of assets and liabilities. What are you worth? The answer that you should be speaking is priceless. Why? Because Jesus shed his blood, precious blood, so that we can have life abundant, now and eternal. That makes your value priceless. Here's another question. If I ask you to work with us for a year, how much would you charge us? Now don't say, "I'd do it for the glory of the Lord." Always remember, a workman is worthy of their hire. Some may wonder, what would we be doing? I'm not sure that I could tell you that. All I can tell you is that what we do, we glorify God, that we terrify the devil, and that we'd have fun. When I ask that question in seminars, the first response is generally $50,000 or $100,000. After several other responses, the amount ultimately jumps to $1 or $2 million a year, to which I respond, "I'm glad I can afford you." Then I ask everyone in the room, or in this case, those of you on the phone, do you have a number in mind as to what you'd like to, you charge me to work for with us for a year? The next question is, how much did you make last year? Now, the final question is this. is the amount you want to charge me higher or lower than what you made last year? 9 out of 10 times, people want to charge me more than they made last year. Which brings us to the last question. Why do we allow ourselves to be used for less than what we think we're worth? The answer is simple. We allow someone else, hear me now, we allow someone else to determine our worth and value. The only person who should determine our worth and value is the Lord. When we finally realize the completeness of our confidence in Him, it'll change our world.
Genesis 1, verse 26 in the Classic Amplified Bible. God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority."
Talk about a confidence builder. That's it. Your worth is priceless. Your worth is priceless. So that should give each of us a confidence in who we are in Him.
Number two, focus on your potential, not your limitations. The world likes to focus on our weaknesses, our limitations, or what they think we can't do, or what they think we can't comprehend. People always flow to the negative instead of the positive. It's part of human nature. They think of limitations instead of expectations. But Mark 9, verse 23, in God's Word translation says, Jesus said to him, "As far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes." The greatest limitations we'll ever face in life are self-imposed, self-maintaining, and self-defeating. Continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential, and it's through the Word of God. God wants us to believe in possibilities, not limitations. He wants us living in excellence, not excuses. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and in exercising virtue, develop knowledge or intelligence." Dennis Waitley, the motivational author, said, "Don't wait on what went wrong. Instead, focus on what to do next." Excuse me, don't dwell on what went wrong. Instead, focus on what to do next. Spend your energies on moving forward toward finding the answer. That's great advice for each one of us as we maximize our potential.
Number three, know where you're going, why you're going there, and what you're going to do once you get there. Your destination's your goal. If your goal is to become a millionaire, well, you have an empty goal. Becoming a millionaire is really just a serendipity to fulfilling your vision, your dream, and your goals. Stephen Covey, in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, defines the second habit as, begin with the end in mind. It's also important to always keep the end in mind, to never lose sight of our destination. You know, it might surprise each of us to know that many Christians not only know, they don't know where they're going, where they are in life, or for that matter, they don't have a clue where they want to be. That's Christians that are like that. How do you determine your destination? By answering the right questions. And dreaming. It's okay to dream. Sadly, many teachers stop their students from daydreaming, correcting and criticizing and even sometimes embarrassing a student for doing what should come natural to every child of God, dreaming. God isn't looking for spiritual zombies. He's looking for people who know how to dream and are open to make the most of every chance they get. So here's the question. Are we making the most of every chance we get, every opportunity that comes before us? If not, why not? And if not, when and where are we going to start making the most of every chance we get?
Colossians 1, verse 11 in the Classic Amplified Bible. We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy.
Number four, create daily expectations. Create daily expectations. I love Psalm 5:3 in the New Living Translation. It says, listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly. Wow. When you woke up this morning, what was your first thought? Your second? Tonight, before you go to sleep, I want to encourage you to write down the first seven things you expect to happen tomorrow, things you need to do. Or if you prefer, be prepared to write down the first seven things you think of just after you wake up. If you wait till morning, do it first. After, of course, well, I won't go there. You can write down the routine, or you can dream about what tomorrow can be. You need to do that. Let me provoke you thinking a little bit. Are you expecting revelatory insight during your study of the Word each day? Are you expecting traffic to flow smoothly? Do you know what CDs you'll listen to on your commute to work? Perhaps you'll listen to either the live or the playback of Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. Are you expecting divine connections? Are you expecting to make progress on your goals? Are you expecting to find previously unknown opportunities? Are you expecting to tap in to previously unused potential? What are you expecting for today? What are you expecting? Remember, the scripture says in Psalm 5:3, each morning, bring your request to the Lord and wait expectantly. Make your list. It can be longer than seven tasks. Just make it. That's the key. Just make it. These are the first four keys to how to make the most out of yourself. We'll pick it up right here on tomorrow's call. Before you leave, let me say this to you. Go to HaroldHerring.com. Check out this week's two-minute video. Make plans now to join us tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. for Sunday Night Live. And it's going to make you shout. I can tell you that right now. And lastly, if you've been blessed by the teaching, go to HaroldHerring.com and where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed it have you put in the ground. And the last thing is this. You should have received a letter from us. On the outside, it talks about guaranteeing your financial future. Make sure you read it. If you didn't get it, let us know and we'll send it to you. Well, till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.